telling you a little story about a boy who went to a bank with his mom. And the teller gave the little child a sucker. Y'all done that before, right? My kids, they go to the bank, they expect a sucker.
And
there we are.
All right, thanks. So the mother, the teller gave the child a sucker, and the mother said, "So what do you say?" He said, "Charge it." Which is kind of cute, but kind of scary, what our children are picking up, what they're learning from us, you know. A question to ask is, how are we influencing our children? Just something to think about. But to take it to another level, how are we influencing our world, our culture, our community? Last week we talked about what is our purpose. In Proverbs 16, verse 4, the Lord made everything for his own purpose. Why did God make you? What's your purpose? Why do we exist? And last week we talked about it, that our purpose is ultimately to glorify God. And I tried to give a couple of steps how we do this. We glorify God by loving people, by connecting people to Jesus, by teaching them to follow Jesus, by sending them out into the world to tell other people about Jesus, so they too can glorify God, which is our ultimate purpose. This is what we live for, to glorify God. So today, our text, I'd like for you to turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, this is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. Sermon on the Mount. And there's a couple of sections here that I want to read and talk about. In Matthew chapter 5, let's begin with what they call the Beatitudes. Verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He goes on, Jesus goes on, he says, blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. And don't you know they will? I mean, if you're really living this kind of life, don't you know the world is going to hate you for it? I mean, just expect that. That comes with it. He goes on, he says, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And then he goes on, verse 13. He says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds. Why? So they can praise your Father in heaven, so they can glorify God. Let your light shine so they can glorify God. This is a Beatitudes. And it starts, it doesn't start, but in it, it says, you are the salt. That word you, if it's helpful at all. I want to point out that's plural. It could be taken individually. You know, I need to be salt, I need to be light. But I think it could be helpful to look at it collectively. We, as a church, the church in the world, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, we are called to be salt. We are called to be light. So, question here: What are we to be? What are we? I did that wrong. What are we to be? We are to be the Beatitudes, which is merciful and meek and pure and peaceful and thirsty and hungry for the things of God. That is what we are to be. What are we to do? We are to do what salt and light does. So then the question is, well, what does salt do? What does light do? So we'll begin with salt. What does salt do? Salt preserves. There's all kinds of, salt does all kinds of things. Salt is just a crazy, neat thing that God made. But one of the things it does, it preserves. You know, you can like take some meat, and you can rub it with salt and do whatever you do. You know, I don't know how you do all that stuff. But you know, it will last forever, or a long time at least. I mean, I found beef jerky in my truck from years ago, and it's good, you know? Sorry. 2 Timothy 3 says this, "In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived." See, it talks about evilness around us is going from bad to worse. And you're thinking, can it get any worse? Really? Can it get any worse? Romans 8, verse 21 says, for the creation was subject to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. So here's a couple of scriptures that talks about things going from bad to worse. And it talks about the creation being subject to bondage, bondage to decay. And what you need to see is you and I, the church, those who live their lives for Jesus Christ, we are the antidote. We are at least what's slowing down the decay. The world's going to do what the world's going to do, but we can slow down the corruption and the decay until all people hear the gospel about Jesus Christ and be able and they're given a chance to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I wrote down the margin here just a couple of ways that our world is going from bad to worse. And I'm thinking, I don't know that I need to go there. You see it, don't you? You see it. The question is, what are we doing about it? And where our government, me and Ken, we were talking earlier about how the government is passing out free needles to addicts. And I'm thinking, I'm not so sure that's secure. But are we passing out Jesus to addicts? Are we just complaining how the government's doing it? The government, I don't think, is the answer. And I think the church has the answer, but are we doing anything with it? What are we doing with the answer that we have been given? We need to be salt. Another word I wrote down here is salt seasons. Colossians says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt. So Christians make life palatable, unbearable. And I got thinking about, you got to think about French fries. You know, you go to McDonald's, you get their French fries, and everybody loves their French fries, right? Or just French fries, anywhere. I don't care where you, well, not some places they're nasty. But you know what, the difference between a good French fry and a nasty French fry? Salt. Yeah. You ever taste French fries that aren't salted? That's gross, you know? But you put salt on them, you can eat them all day long, you know? Now imagine French fries without salt. Yeah, just don't even go there. Don't even go there. Now imagine the world without Christians. Imagine the world without Christians. And think about where Christians are making a difference. Think about the different ministries. I was thinking about prison ministries. And at one time, Chuck Colson's prison ministry had 50,000 volunteers working in prisons. And I don't know if that number's gotten greater or worse since he passed away. But I know here in our area, we have several people in our church who do what they call RECs, Residents Encounter Christ. We go into the jails, and we try to be the salt. We try to be the light to these people who've never tasted it. They've never seen it. They've grown up in a life of darkness without Jesus Christ. So here we try to bring the salt, and we try to bring the light. You think about the orphanage. You think about what Alan just presented to us and what's going on in Ethiopia. Just some fascinating stuff. I loved everything you were bringing. I keep on thinking, we need to give you guys more money, which you probably won't complain about. So I'm thinking, if somebody was convicted today, go see Alan and Carrie and say, here's my wallet, you know? We need to make a difference here. Hospitals. Think about hospitals and how Christians are involved with the hospitals. Think about education and how Christians. Think about Christian teachers that we have. And a lot of our schools began with Christians getting involved because they were concerned, they cared. I mean, you can go on and on and on and think about the influence that Christians have had on the family, Just saying adultery is wrong, and fathers, we need to be good fathers. We need to be present, and mothers, you know, we need to be good mothers. Think about how Christianity has influenced the family. Think about how Christianity has influenced business. To business should be ran honestly. You think all the different ways that Christians have made a difference in the communities and in with social issues. In 2 Corinthians 2, it says this: "For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we are the smell of death. To the other, the fragrance of life. And who is equal to such a task?" I'm hoping you can see how Christians bring life to a world that's living in darkness. We bring light to a world that's living in darkness. I want you to see that. But yet, the world says we're the problem. I got a quote here. It's actually from Dan Quayle. This was a few years back that Dan Quayle said this. He said, "Who?" This is a survey that he was quoting. "Who would you not want as a neighbor?" 3% said a Catholic. 5% said a Jew. 30% said a fundamental Christian. And I'm thinking our world has done something with that word fundamental. You know, if fundamental Christian is like a bad thing, you know, those are those freaks out there who actually practice what they preach and you know, believe the Bible. And the fundamental Christian is someone who takes the Bible literally and seriously. And I just want to point out, I'm a fundamental Christian. I practice the fundamentals of my faith. That's, in my understanding, that's what a fundamental Christian is. Somebody who practices the fundamentals of their faith. And I'm thinking, okay, in Christianity, all of a sudden, it's a bad thing to be a fundamental Christian. But you go to any other category of the occupation, you talk about a pilot. You get on a plane. You get on a plane, and you have a pilot. Wouldn't you want the pilot to practice the fundamentals of flying? You wouldn't want to be on a plane where the pilot says, "Hey, let's try something new. Let's fly upside down." Ooh, you know? No, you want a fundamental pilot. When it comes to medicine, you want a doctor who's practicing the fundamentals of medicine. Why in Christianity is this a problem? Our world is becoming very intolerant and hateful towards Christians, labeling us as intolerant and hateful. Dennis Prager, he says this. He says, "Suppose your car breaks down in the middle of the night in a rough section of town, and you see three large imposing men coming towards you. Here you are, you're stuck in your car, it's dark, and here comes three men, three big men. Would you be frightened if you saw these men were carrying Bibles?" Scary, scary. Ooh, Christians, you know. And to know they just came from a Bible study. He says, "I suggest that you would be relieved, because if they believed that book, they would be kind to one another." Christians preserve, Christians season, Christians create thirst. That's what salt does. Salt creates thirst. We should create thirst. If somebody sees you living your life for God, do you think that should make them want what you've got? I want that. I need that. I've shared this. This is a great illustration. I've shared this many, many times. I love this illustration. That we, sometimes Christians, when you first come to Christ, they put us in three categories. Sometimes we come after people like a shark and say, "You're going to go to hell if you don't give your life to Jesus Christ too." Well, the world doesn't like sharks. I don't know if you noticed that or not, but the world, they're kind of scared of sharks. So when you start coming after somebody because you are on fire for Jesus Christ, you love Jesus Christ, and you're telling the world, you need to give your life to Jesus Christ too. Sometimes they get a little nervous, they get a little scared. And I get that. But then we go to the opposite extreme, because what we're doing is not working. And we see that nobody wants to be around us anymore. You know, this isn't working. So what we do, we become, the word I hear is carp. I don't know too much about fish, but a carp is, what I understand, a carp is a fish that lays at the bottom of the riverbed and does nothing. So we go from being on fire for Jesus Christ, kind of attacking everybody, to going to then we become carps, which do nothing. We just spend the rest of our life doing nothing. What we need to be, you all know this, don't you? What we need to be is like a dolphin, just enjoying our life with Jesus Christ, because everybody loves dolphins. Everybody, you know, like, ooh, that's so cool. Everybody, they want to watch him. I wish, you know, you want to swim with the dolphins. You know, if we were living our life for Jesus Christ in such a way where we were enjoying our relationship with God, we would be a magnet to a world that needs to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We need to live like dolphins. When I say create a thirst, I'm very much reminded of a day going way back when I was in the Navy. I was called into work 2 a.m. in the morning. Some of my equipment was broke in the middle of the night. So they call me in. I'm cranky. I don't want to be there. I just want to go back to bed. And a girl at the gate, she opens up the gate for me. Her name's Wendy. And she says, Pete, when you get done, come out here. I need to talk to you. I really didn't know Wendy that well, but okay. So I fixed my equipment. Took me up 10, 15 minutes, fixed the equipment. I go out to the guardhouse, ask what's going on, what she need. She says, I've been watching how you live. I used to be a Christian. She needed my help to get back to Christ. Now, I'll tell you this story. I should have began the story by telling you that I think, if I recall right, as I was coming back onto base at 2 a.m., I was crying out to God, complaining to God, saying, Lord, nobody cares. Nobody's listening. I'm tired. I'm about ready to give up. And within 10 minutes, Wendy tells me she needs my help to get back to Jesus Christ. So I say that not to say look at me, because I was getting ready to quit. I say look at our God, how faithful our God is, that he could hear my prayer. I was crying out to him like that. And look at the influence that you have on people. You don't even realize it. I didn't know Wendy. I didn't know her. But she was watching. So I ask you, who's watching you? Who's watching you? And they see whether or not you wake up on a Sunday morning and you're going to church. They see if you're truly living out what you say you believe. They see it. They know it. People are watching you. How are you influencing them? Are you influencing people to live for Jesus Christ? Are you influencing people with your words, with your speech, with your humor? And they say, I don't want anything to do with that person. I don't want anything to do with that person's God. How are we influencing people? Christians whom the world hates, whom the world has labeled intolerant and hate mongers and bigots, whom Jesus proclaimed would be are blessed when they are persecuted for righteousness. I believe that Christians are the backbone of society, the hope of America, as we point to the hope of the world, which is Jesus Christ. We are the salt of the world. But not only are we salt, we're light. Now think about what light does. Light guides. A couple of verses I want to share with you here. What the Lord told Paul in Acts chapter 13, for this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. That was what God told Paul. You need to be a light. They're stumbling around in darkness. They're lost. They can't. They're in a state of confusion because they can't see where they're going. They can't see what they're doing. You show them, as you live your life for me, you show them how to live their life for me, is what God is saying. In Acts chapter 26, it says, now get up and stand up on your feet. I have appeared to you and appointed you as a servant, as a witness of what you have seen of me and what I will show you. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Now, this is what God told Paul he was to do. And I'm telling you, he's telling you the same thing. He's telling you the same thing. We exist to help turn people from the darkness to the light, turn people from Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in Christ Jesus. Philippians 2, let me give you this one. Philippians 2, verse 15 and 16 says, do everything without complaining or arguing. Keep in mind, the world's watching you. So if you're complaining, you're arguing, you know, that's what the world is seeing. Do everything without complaining or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. You and I are to shine like stars in the darkness that we are being overcome by. We are to shine like stars. So we can point. You know what stars do? People, they use stars to navigate, to find their way in the middle of the night. We are to shine like stars. We are to expose. There's another thing light does. Light exposes. I remember walking into a room one time, flipped on the light. You see all these cockroaches running everywhere. Okay. Yeah, get that out of your head now. Okay, but that's, you know, that we bring light. We as Christians, we walk into the room, light. And all the cockroaches run, okay? I got all kinds of things going through my head right now. John chapter 3 says this, John chapter 3 verse 19. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light. It will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. So light exposes the evilness, the deeds of evil people. Men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. This is why the world hates us. This is a no-brainer. You know, we don't want to be hated. We don't like being hated. But the world's going to hate you if you're living for Jesus Christ. They're going to hate you because you bring conviction. And people don't want to be convicted. So what are you going to do? I don't want to offend anybody. No, this is our job. This is our job. We are to be salt. We are to be light. We're not going to do any good if we don't expose what sin is. We're not helping anybody. If we just don't want to offend anybody. Just don't want to offend anybody. That doesn't help anybody. So we guide, we expose. Another thing that we do, we reflect. We reflect, like the moon. There's no light on the moon, but it reflects the light of the sun. You and I are like the moon. Where the light is Jesus Christ, is what it says in John 8, verse 12. Jesus is the light, but we are to be light. And the way we are light is because we reflect the light of Jesus. Because Jesus lives in us. People, it's not that they see us, they see Jesus living in us. Ephesians 5:8 says, you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. If Jesus Christ is living in you, you become a light to the world. Now, here's a question for you. I love this question. So when you think about how we are called to be salt, we are called to be light. All right, this is a really good practical question. What kind of light do you see yourself as? What kind of light? And I'm thinking most of us would like to see ourselves like a chandelier. Yeah. That was beautiful.
Everybody likes a chandelier. That's pretty. Not very useful, but it's really pretty. You know, it's all about me.
I want attention. You know, look at me. Look how pretty I am. Well, I would tell you the most useful light in your house is not the chandelier. It's the nightlight. As you get up in the middle of the night, that's the light that keeps you from stubbing your toe. I love the nightlight. We need to be like the nightlights in the darkness. Very helpful. Now, my favorite light is a refrigerator light. That's a good light, too. Or think about this, another light. If all of us came together collectively and worked like a laser beam, how powerful a laser beam is, which is light all coming together. If all Christians would come together and work together, there's power there. We could cut through the darkness. We could make a big difference right there. So we are to be salt, we are to be light. Here's a question. Why do we exist? Why do we exist? And I give you three choices. The first two are wrong, okay? We want to imitate the world? No, we do not imitate the world. There's no need for us to imitate what's going on in this world. Matthew 5 verse 13 says, you are the salt of the earth, but the salt loses its saltiness. How can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. See, if you're called to be salt, you're created to be salt, and you're not salty, then what good are you? You're not making a difference. You're not influencing anybody. You're not making a difference. I got a story here by a guy named Edward Miller. This is from a Time Magazine article. Time Magazine article was called Missionaries Undercover.
This one's for you, Alan. You'll like this here. Missionaries undercover. Here, Edward Miller feels no impulse at all to share his faith with his clients. He's in Baghdad. He doesn't feel the need to share his faith. He says, you have to realize that Christianity has been part of the Middle East for 2,000 years. People here know all about my religion and don't need me to explain it. I don't feel I have anything more to teach the Muslims than they have to teach me. Well, missionary Edward Miller is in no danger of being persecuted for Jesus' sake, so long as he neglects his testimony of the gospel. He may even be applauded by the world around him, but he's not making a difference. He's not bringing salt. He's not bringing light because he's not bringing Jesus. There's no salt. There's no light. John MacArthur, he says, we cannot be an influence for purity in the world if we have compromised our own purity. We cannot sting the world's conscience if we continually go against our own. We cannot stimulate thirst for righteousness if we've lost our own. We cannot be used of God to retard the corruption of sin in the world if our own lives become corrupted by sin. Don't compromise the message of Jesus Christ, because then you'll lose your saltiness. Don't compromise the gospel. Don't skirt around the Bible because it might offend somebody. Of course the Bible is going to offend somebody. Jesus offended somebody. But it's the only way that you can break through and make a difference. I don't want to be offensive, but I know that my life for Jesus Christ might be offensive to somebody. I can't apologize for that. Romans 1 verse 16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because I know the gospel is the power of salvation to everyone who believes. There is no power without the gospel. There is no power without Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ will offend. So don't imitate the world. Don't back down because the world's telling you need to back down. Which is the second thing. Don't be isolated from the world. Why do we exist? Not to be isolated from the world. Matthew 5 verse 14 and 15 says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Jesus didn't light you up so that you go hide someplace and not be seen by anybody. And this is where Christians today, we like to hide within the four walls of our church. You know, we'll live for Jesus, we'll be on fire for Jesus here in our building. And then we leave here and we get concerned what people might think. So we put the light under a bowl. We hide the light because we're afraid we might offend somebody. We're not to isolate the light. We're to shine the light. It's not going to help anybody if we don't shine. So we don't exist to imitate the world. We don't exist to be isolated from the world. We exist to infiltrate the world. Penetrate the darkness. Matthew 5 verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds. Now understand, the good deeds is not the light. We do the good deeds because of the light. The light is Jesus Christ. Let your light shine. Jesus came here, in John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The reason he came to this earth, to dwell among us, to be among the people, be among the tax collectors and the sinners and the prostitutes. He came, he lived among them. He spoke their language. He observed their customs. He sang their songs, but he never lost his saltiness. He never lost his influence. He never hid the light. You and I are to be like this. We infiltrate this world. We dwell among sinful men, and don't become sinful, but we dwell among sinful men so that they can see Jesus Christ living in our hearts. Our purpose is to be salt, be light, make a difference. Let people see our good deeds so they praise, so God will be praised. I'll give you a few verses here. 1 Peter 2, verse 12 says, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits. Not just about seeing your good deeds, it's about seeing your good deeds and glorifying God on the day he visits. 1 Peter 4, verse 11 says, if anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be glory forever and ever and ever. We have been called to make a difference. And the way we make a difference is by being different. So So let your light shine. Let your light shine. See the light. I'm talking about all these metaphors today, but I'm hoping you understand what we're talking about here. You need to see the light and realize we live in a world that Satan is trying to blind people so they can't see the light of Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers. It's talking about Satan. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the word of Christ. Now, see, they're unbelievers. They can't see the light. They've been blinded. So we need to see the light. And how do you do that? By putting your faith in Jesus Christ. Believe the light. What it says in John chapter 12, verse 35. Jesus told them, you are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. The man who walks in the dark does not know where he's going. You put your trust in the light while you have it, so that you may become sons of light. So we need to see the light, know that Jesus is light. We need to believe in the light, which is Jesus Christ. Embrace Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Believe in the light. Follow the light, is what it says in John 8, verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Are you following Jesus Christ? Yeah, we're going to be salt and we're going to be light. We have to follow Jesus. What does that look like? Well, I give you another verse. Psalm 119, it says, your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. We need to start living our lives according to the word of God. Follow the light. And then, when we do that, when we see the light, when we put our faith in the light, when we follow the light, we will be a light. We will reflect the love of Jesus, the light of Jesus. We will glow as Christ lives in us. Matthew 5, verse 14, again says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine. What's our purpose? What's our purpose? To let our light shine so that people may see our good deeds, so they will glorify God. You have been called to be salt. Are you salty? Are you salty? Are you preserving a world that's going bad? Are you seasoning a world that tastes pretty rotten? Are you creating that thirst in others around you? Are you salty? You've been called to be light. Where are you taking people? Where are you guiding them? Remember in Matthew 23, Jesus accused the Pharisees of being blind guides. I hope you're not a blind guide. Your eyes are fixed on Jesus, right? You're following Jesus. If you're following Jesus and you're thirsty for Jesus, you're hungry for Jesus, people around you, they want to go where you're going. They're going to see them. And you're going to help them. You're going to expose the wickedness that's going on in this world. It needs to be exposed. And you're going to reflect Jesus to a world that can't see you. Where is your place in the body of Christ? You've been called to be salt. You've been called to be light. The world needs salt. The world needs light. Are you up for this challenge? Are you doing it? Are you living it? Let the Lord be praised. Pray with me. Gracious Father, I come to you now, Lord, praying that you would help us to see the importance of these scriptures that we've been reading. The importance of what salt is to our world, the importance of what light is to this world, the importance of what we are to this world as Christians. Help us, Father, to live our lives accordingly, with purpose, with intention, with hope that we are helping a world that's living in darkness, with hope that we are helping a world find their way to you. So, Father God, I pray that you help us be effective at being the salt that you call us to be. I pray that you help us be effective at being the light that we are called to be. Father God, when we go back to our workplace, when we go back to our schools, when we go back to our families, wherever we go, Father, if they need salt, let us be salt. If they need light, let us be the light. As we keep our eyes fixed upon you, as we live our lives for you, as we do our good works for you, for your glory. Father God, we pray that those around us would live for your glory.